that happens in life can happen in a show. You can make them laugh, you can make them cry. Anything, anything can go.
Welcome to your weekend. This is Weekend Showcase, your North State Arts Magazine. I'm Tom Kinney. Today we take you to the Blue Room Theater in Chico to talk with Hillary Tellison, producer, writer, director of Puma, a wild, no-holds-barred show which will put you ringside at a professional women's wrestling extravaganza featuring 12 exaggerated wrestling personas as they satirize different types of 21st century women, fiercely battling each other in the ring. We'll also talk with several of the extraordinary women from the cast. And on today's program, we talk with Pleasant Valley High School art teacher Rita Rickmers and with one of her students. Together, they have a current exhibition in Chico of their paintings, artwork which celebrates the renewal of nature after the devastating fires in the North State. That's coming up over the next half hour here on Weekend Showcase. Stay tuned. First, here's Brian Mall with the North State Arts Calendar.
Opening tonight at Redding's Riverfront Playhouse, the romantic comedy Somewhere in Between. Showtimes tonight and tomorrow night at 7:30 and Sunday at 2. Axiom Repertory Theater in Redding presents A Doll's House, Part 2, a sequel to the Ibsen classic. This new play was Tony-nominated on Broadway last year. Curtain times at Redding's Old City Hall, 7:30 tonight and tomorrow night, with a 2 o'clock matinee on Sunday. Sunday, at Redding's Civic Auditorium, a journey of music and dance celebrating the spirit of Spain. Benice, the Prince of Spanish Guitar, unveils his new production, Fuego. This adventure in music begins at 6:30, day after tomorrow. The Orland Arts Center wraps up its 9th annual group show, displaying a wide array of works by 40 artists from around California. Your last chance to see this exhibit tomorrow between 1 and 6. In Chico tonight, comedian Paula Poundstone brings the funny to Chico State's Laxna Auditorium. The laughs begin at 7:30. Tomorrow, the Chico State Music Department presents a concert version of the comedic operetta Candide by Leonard Bernstein, based on Voltaire's satire of innocence and optimism. This performance begins at 7:30 in the university's Harlan Adams Theater. MONCA, the Museum of Northern California Art, hosts the photography exhibit Black and White in Black and White, Images of Dignity, Hope, and Diversity in America, and its companion exhibit, Silence Out Loud. MONCA's hours, 11 to 5, Thursday through Sunday. Closing next Thursday, at the Chico Art Center, the all-media exhibit, Time Honored. You can visit the center Monday through Thursday, noon to 4. In Chico State's Humanities Building, at the Jackie Headley University Art Gallery, Dog Days, works by Vietnamese-American artist Trong Nha Nguyen. His whimsically odd and oddly political objects can be seen Tuesday through Saturday, noon to 4. Also in the Humanities Building, at the Janet Turner Print Museum, the exhibit Imagining the Past. The final day of this art show is tomorrow from 11 to 4. In Paradise, Theater on the Ridge's performing group for kids, Stagecoach Youth, presents its fall musical, The Phantom Tollbooth Jr. You can see the show Monday or Wednesday, 3:30 or 5:30 each day. The main show at Theater on the Ridge is Women in Jeopardy. The final three performances of this mystery comedy are tonight and tomorrow night at 7:30 and Sunday at 2. At the Acting Company in Yuba City, a production of the classic American musical Gypsy opens tonight at 7:30. It also plays tomorrow night at 7:30 and Sunday at 2. That's the calendar for this week. As we mentioned, the musical version of Voltaire's Candide is at Chico State tomorrow, and today is the anniversary of Voltaire's birth. "Let us read and let us dance," announced this French author, "two amusements that will never do any harm to the world."
There's a wild new original play on stage at Chico's Blue Room Theater tonight and tomorrow night only. It's called Puma, and it's set in the world of professional women's wrestling. It takes a satirical look at the world of women in the 21st century through 12 different exaggerated but empowering personas battling each other in the ring. The title Puma, P-U-M-A, is an acronym, but I can't fully tell you what that stands for, at least on the radio. Let's just say it stands for Private Parts Under Massive Attack. Let's go to the Blue Room Theater to talk with the writer, producer, director, and with several of the extraordinary women who are in the cast. I'm here at the Blue Room Theater in Chico, and there's a special engagement of a brand new show, and it's called Puma. This is Hillary Tellison, the producer of the show, also one of the writers. Maybe we could call her the original creator of the show. Puma, what is this all about?
I put together a female wrestling show, actually, for my 40th birthday. Last year, for my 39th birthday, I had a bunch of girlfriends over. One of the things that I was really excited about is how many women wanted to wrestle. And we did watch the documentary Glow, which is a story about a lot of women who were trying to make it as actors in Los Angeles and had this fantastic experience creating this theatrical wrestling show, and we wanted to do it for ourselves. That was it. And I have to say, planning a show for your 40th birthday really makes you not think about aging, and it just makes you think about doing a cool project or making something great. And I think that's actually what we should be looking forward to in life, all the good things we're going to make, not be dreading what we're going to look like.
Well, this is one group of badass women, I'll have to say. All the characters are so great, over the top, bigger than life wrestlers.
The actors came up with their own identities, and that was kind of the fun. It was a very collaborative piece. I mean, I call myself a writer, but lots of times I was just a reader, you know, and I would read other people's work that they brought. A lot of the actors wrote their own monologues, but if an actor didn't, I would go back to the writing team and ask them if any of them would want to write something, and someone would pick it up. It was a really great collaborative creative process.
There's a lot of faux vicious action. Did you work a lot with a fight choreographer?
We sure did. Joey Mashiri was our trainer and our choreographer. He also was our photographer. He helped build the ring. He knew how to build a ring, which none of us knew. And, you know, it turns out it takes quite a bit of construction. Winston Colgan engineered the ring. It's made to take a few hits. We had to really build something safe that could take a lot of bounce.
Well, there was a lot of hitting and throwing people around, but it was all done like professional wrestling, where it was obviously staged, but the audience really helped with making it a big thing, like these women were really tearing at each other.
Yeah, I mean, even though we aren't physically making contact, punching each other in the face, I have to say, physically, this is a pretty athletic performance. And, you know, but I mean, even our story, I kind of like the idea that the women are in control of how the fight goes. And Betty Byrne's idea of choreographing the opening where it showed like camaraderie among the women and then going right into fight poses after we do our Puma rap to show that, you know, we have a lot of agency and we can tell our own stories.
The script dealt with a lot of current hot button, you know, social issues.
I think we are kind of bombarded with stories about how women have been mistreated in the workplace and life, or as they pursue their careers or their college experience or walking down the street getting catcalled. You know, there's a lot of stories where you're shown a picture of women, about women, that is looking at them as a subjugated group. And so it's really been fun to turn those stories around and actually have physical matches that play with taking ownership and strength and creating matches over difficult circumstances women have to face every day, year, decade, generation, it seems.
I have to say, after watching 2 hours of women being paired up and fighting their differences in the ring, it was really satisfying, and I think it was satisfying for the whole audience, for all those women to band together in common cause and really turn themselves on the sexist man who had been making all these catty comments to the women.
Yeah, I mean, that was really fun. And, you know, the writers had no shortage of examples to pull from in terms of things women hear people say and messages that are constantly bombarded in movies and work and families. Yeah, that was fun to do.
Well, I have to say, this show has quite a buzz about it around Chico. You weren't really planning for that because there's only two performances, just tonight and tomorrow night.
Yeah, I didn't really anticipate it. Not only are audience members interested, there's been just a huge number of contributors, collaborators who have offered up their expertise, and their contributions have made everything stellar, just really high quality, which really makes more people want to come. So I wrote in my program notes that we have over 40 people who have contributed their time, their expertise, and their talent. And for me, at the end of 4 decades, that's kind of the greatest gift that this aging has brought me, that I have so many people in my network in this community that want to make cool stuff.
We have here Betty Burns. She plays a man among all these tough, angry women. So what's the name of your character?
Patrick Archie. Patrick Archie is just kind of your stereotypical chauvinistic, bombastic bastard of a man.
And you're the manager of the character that Hillary plays?
Yeah, the manager slash coach of Gold Digger.
Well, when you get your whole persona on with the beard, you have a beard.
Yeah.
What do you think when you look in the mirror and there's this guy with a beard looking back at you?
I have a history of doing drag, so it's not like it's something I've never done before. So I just, you know, I make a good-looking dude.
Betty, tell me in a nutshell why people would want to go see this show, which only plays tonight and tomorrow night at the Blue Room Theater.
Because it is just a phenomenal, not just piece of theater, but just an incredible experience. In all of my years of doing theater in Chico, I have never seen a show with this many dynamite, amazing women coming together and everybody working hard together towards the same goal. Come and see this amazing, multi-layered experience.
And I think experience is a good word for it, because, you know, there's not a story like a lot of plays have. It's more like these vivid, vivid characters and this whole environment, which the audience is very much a part of.
That feeling was amazing, hearing those first roars from the people out there in the audience. Just incredible.
We've been talking with Betty Burns, who is part of the team that created Puma at the Blue Room Theater. Now we have Natalie Valencia. She plays one of the most vivid characters. Tell us what your character is.
I play Hot Flash, the oldest woman in the troupe of Puma wrestlers, the aging one.
But your age hasn't seemed to slow you down. In fact, you seem more dynamic, more strong than any of the younger women.
That's great to hear, because that's kind of the point, I think, that a lot of people in society assume that women who are older are less than, when in fact our experience really makes us more whole. I love the fact that I'm an older woman. I really am grateful for the wisdom that I have now. It's really nice to be able to have that opportunity to play that and to play to that.
Was it cathartic to play this badass woman who didn't take any guff from anybody and just was the most vivid character in the whole show?
It was certainly a pleasure to be able to play that kind of character, for sure, because roles for older women are kind of few and far between. So to be able to grab that and to just be so crazy with it, I mean, there's no limit to her character. And so that has just been an absolute gas.
What's the best part about throwing yourself with all you got into this visceral character who takes no prisoners?
Well, you know, I am an actor, and so throwing myself into any role is what I do. I mean, that's kind of what I was trained to do. So that's not particularly unusual for me. I think what's just unusual about it is the kind of show that has so much audience participation as well. And often it's common for directors to have to tell me to tone it down or, you know, rein things in. And this is not that kind of a show. So that's kind of been really freeing that way.
The bigger the better with this show.
Exactly.
Now we have here Blake Nicole Ellis. Let me have her tell you who her character is.
I play Millennial Menace. I am obviously a millennial that comes from a generation that was told I could be anything. As a millennial myself, it was super fun to play on those stereotypes, and I really got to dive into all of those stereotypical, you know, ideas that people have about millennials.
Was it fun poking fun at that kind of entitlement that some millennials have?
I'm a little embarrassed to say how naturally it came to me at points. But yeah, you know, growing up as a millennial, we were told anything you want, you can just have it. So to poke fun of that and just the ridiculous nature of that stereotype of being entitled was really fun. Also, like, just exploring people's perceptions of my generation and getting into that was so much fun to research all of those ideas that people have.
Well, each character has a larger-than-life persona in their makeup, their costume, their props. For instance, I'm looking at you right now, just after the show, and you have kind of lightning bolts for eyebrows and glitter under your eyes. Well, tell me about your prop. It's a pink phone with bunny ears.
Yes, I am dressed head to toe in what is aptly named Millennial Pink. That is apparently the color of my generation. So I got to dress head to toe in that light pink color that millennials love so much. I don't know if you know about these makeup trends that are happening. Contouring is big. Big bushy eyebrows are big. So I decided to take the eyebrows and even make it more, you know, extreme. So that was really fun. It helps you get into character for sure. And you can be as ridiculous as you want.
I know for sure that you and all of the other women in this play felt personal camaraderie. What was it like interrupting that personal camaraderie to really kind of lay into each other in the fight scenes?
Well, I mean, I think it made it that much better, because up there doing pro wrestling moves, you have to really trust your opponents because they sometimes have your life literally in their hands. So to have that friendship and that bond and to be working with such wonderful and creative women, it made it that much better. You can really poke fun at each other and not worry about it and just go for it.
You did some spectacular flips and things.
It's hard work, and you really have to know how to land it, but just the outrageousness of the moves and learning how to fall correctly and how to be flipped correctly and how to flip correctly, it is so much fun. And let me tell you, people say that pro wrestling is fake. It very much can hurt.
You'd been at odds with each other and everything, but then you just kind of united into one group at the end. Was that cathartic for you?
What's great about this play is it deals with a lot of women's issues. We are ridiculous in the way that we present them, but they are very real issues that affect us all. It was really fun to explore how to laugh at it, but also feel empowered by coming together. We end the show with a really great chant that I won't spoil, but that was super empowering. And it was just so much fun to be able to come together at the end and like we are united as one.
We've been talking with Blake Nicole Ellis. She plays one of the larger-than-life wrestling characters in Puma. Two performances only, tonight at 7:30 and tomorrow night at 7:30 at the Blue Room Theater in downtown Chico.
This is Dolores Mitchell. Today I'm speaking with two artists bringing radiant color to the corner of First Street and Flume in Chico at a Beautiful Life Furnishings. I'm turning first to Rita Rickmers.
I've been working on a series of very colorful bird paintings that showcase birds from our area and birds from as far away as Australia. I was in Australia and I saw some amazing birds. I'm showcasing, I think, three different varieties, such as a motmot. I also have paintings of magpies, blue jays, fairy wrens, many different kinds of birds.
There are many ways to approach bird painting. One of them is to give a very naturalistic environment, but that's not what you're doing.
No, I love the contrast between an abstract, patterned background and very realistic yet artistic birds. My paintings are very textured, colorful. They have a whimsical aspect to them. I like that contrast because I think it makes the birds pop against their background. Your focus is on the birds.
Caitlin, what will you be showing?
Definitely a lot of color. Going to be having like a shelter series, a lot of barns that are still standing after the fire. Everything's still kind of becoming what it is.
So many people have gone through terrible fires surrounding Chico, Redding, and farther up north, but both of you have found beauty, at least in the aftermath of the fire.
The fires have really affected all of us in some way. We're a little bit more sad during the day, knowing what we've got and what others have lost. Even when I'm super sad or upset about a topic, I still tend to paint pretty vibrantly, suffuse hope into my work. A lot of the skies are deeply red, they look angry or somber and orange, but the houses that are still standing seem to represent the hope that I'm feeling.
There's a resurgence of nature as well.
An awakening of new growth. There's always positivity after a fire, even if it's hard to see.
Rita, you also seem to find beauty in a very difficult situation.
I was touched by the fires that were happening this summer because in 2008 I lost my house and everything to the wildfires. So it brought back a lot of memories. And I did a whole series of work after that fire in 2008 that helped me process that experience. When it was burning again this summer, and I was doing my bird series, I did one painting that was of two magpies that shows a very red and orange background. What happens to the wildlife when we have these fires?
A fascinating thing about this show is your relationship as educators at Pleasant Valley High. Tell us about that, Rita.
I'm blessed to have Caitlin Shireen be my student teacher. I had her as an aide in my classroom and fell in love with her. I just thought, I want her as my student teacher because I think she's a true artist and I think it really helps if art teachers are also artists. I asked her to be my student teacher and it's been just wonderful. The kids really relate to Caitlin. They love her.
Caitlin, you've spent quite a number of years strictly as an artist. Tell us about that journey from being a solitary artist to being an art teacher at a high school.
All of this time I've spent in this happy bubble painting, not really needing to speak too much to other people except for during shows, which is always like a party. This has been a real challenge for me, but it's awakening so much potential of learning new things, learning how to transfer my enthusiasm about artwork onto other unsuspecting people. I am really blessed to have my mentor be Rita. I just feel so supported, and I feel like I've gained a great friend.
How do you like working with high school students?
They don't have any sort of parameters for their imagination. What they need is a Sherpa in order to guide them to higher places and believing in themselves.
Rita, what makes for a good art teacher at the high school level?
I think you have to like teenagers. You have to remember what it was like to be a teenager. So you have to put yourself in their place a lot. I think it helps if you're an artist.
What do you think that art instruction adds to their lives?
It gives them an outlet for all the emotions that they're going through as teenagers, because they're dealing with a lot. They're dealing with a lot of change, a lot of transition, a lot of things they don't understand. It gives them a way to escape the stress that they feel in other areas of their lives. And it gives them a place to be successful in ways that maybe they're not successful in their other classes.
What's the role of color in your paintings, Caitlin?
It is an expression of the love and happiness that I feel in my person. I paint straight from the tube. I mix on the canvas. I push it around with sponges and brushes, but mainly sponges. I'm burnishing the colors into the canvas, which is therapeutic, and it gives a nice blending effect.
Do certain colors speak to you?
Blues and oranges. You put a blue sky, a light blue sky, with an orange earth, and to me that just is happiness.
Rita, how about you?
Well, I like to play with color, and so to me it's kind of like a push-pull. Like if I pick one object and it's a certain color, I'm like, well, what kind of colors can play off of that color? It's a lot of experimentation. It's also a lot of layering of colors. I like to use thick gesso first and then paint over that. Then use a palette knife on top of the gesso to give it multiple layers of color.
Do you do demonstrations, Rita?
I do, and I also bring in my work. Like from day one, the work is up so that students can see the type of work that I do. I demo like how to use gesso with a palette knife, how to do thin layers, how to do underpaintings, and then gradually build your paintings up, and how to mix colors.
Well, those of you who want to visit this wonderful show full of color and light and vibrancy, it's at A Beautiful Life Furnishings, 250 East 1st Street, near the News and Review in Chico. They're open Saturday and Sunday, 10 to 4, and Wednesday and Friday, 11 to 6 p.m. The show runs September and October.
And that's Weekend Showcase for this week. We'll be back next Friday at 3 o'clock. If you miss this show at its regular broadcast time, you can always listen to it online anytime after 3:30 Friday at mynspr.org. As always, we encourage you to enjoy the arts in the North State. For Weekend Showcase, I'm Tom Kinney. Weekend Showcase is a production of North State Public Radio.